Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hear this, right now.
Welcome.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk.
What is going on up here?
I never know, man.
Unbiased.
Shut your mouth.
Uncompromised sports talk without the sugarcoating.
I hope you're happy. You wasted everyone's life for 30 seconds.
Isaac Rupp and Jason Sakanik.
Now shut up and let me do my job.
The best in sports coverage.
This is going to be great.
This is Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, we've got a little Deion Sanders talk coming up. He's the new coach at Jackson State. You may have heard of him. He's a pretty good little NFL player.
Yeah, there was a nice little rumor there, but it turned out it was false about his coaching staff.
Yeah, Terrell Owens.
Oh, it would have been so good.
Warren Sapp.
Well, are we sure that's false?
Yeah, well, at least it was kind of debunked, and then Warren Sapp, at least for himself, said that it's not happening.
Yeah, because he's in prison.
No, I don't think Warren Sapp's in prison.
Oh, okay, good.
No, I think he's all right. I think he had to file bankruptcy and there was some prostitution things. He lost his job, but I do not believe he's in prison.
I took it too far.
Yeah.
I owe Mr. Sapp an apology.
Well, and probably remember he's rich guy bankrupt, which is not the same as like normal guys being bankrupt.
He's like Jose Canseco.
I'm sure he's doing just fine. He needs to get Robert Kraft's lawyer though, because he can get those prostitution things thrown out.
Yeah, pays to be rich.
Yeah. When Sapp was rich, you just need to be wealthy, right? Like, rich, you can buy your way out of some things. Wealthy, you can buy your way out of anything. The Robert Kraft thing today is officially gone. The video has been expunged, can't be released, and all charges are gone. So Kraft got out of that scot-free.
Who didn't see that coming?
Oh, we all did. It's kind of impressive, though, that it was like, he probably would have had to pay like a $300 fine or whatever for that, like take a class or say I'm sorry. And I'm sure he spent like $500K fighting that thing, but you know, it got it gone.
Well, it's Tuesday, and we didn't have time for this yesterday, but the U.S. Open of Golf wrapped up on Sunday, and the winner was Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes,
six under par.
Did not do very well in the ratings. No. Don't go up against the NFL and have no drama on Sunday.
Yeah. Well, there was drama, but it was early.
Yeah.
By the back nine. If you didn't see it early, the back nine was, you didn't need to watch it. Well, because DeChambeau ran away with it. He was the only guy under par. He went six under. The next best guy was even par. Pretty amazing performance.
And Wolf went, I think he was four or five over on the day.
And yeah, he was five over.
Yeah, and he completely melted down.
Well, I don't know that he melted down. Everybody shot to five over.
I guess that's
it's just Bryson DeChambeau played. I mean, he was excellent out there. I mean, that was the toughest test in golf.
Yep.
And that tests every element of your game. And he was, especially on Sunday, particularly early on Sunday on the toughest holes, which were the first five holes. He was sensational.
Yeah.
I mean, he was making everything.
Well, when Wolf goes five over and the doucher goes three under, I mean, that's why you have zero. That's why you have zero drama.
Well, Wolf had a 2-shot lead going into Sunday, and I was rooting for him. One, because I bet on him again, but two, you know, he's a fun guy to watch. You know, Wolf outdrove Bryson DeChambeau all week. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
He drove it further than Bryson DeChambeau all week, and they pointed that out on the broadcast a few times. Statistically, Wolf hit it further. But Bryson gained five shots. You know, it's all about strokes gained now.
Yeah.
He gained the
advanced analytics.
He gained over five strokes off the tee and seven shots on his approaches. And he's always been one of the top putters out there, DeChambeau. I don't think a lot of people know that about him, but he's got a great putter. And his putter was excellent on Sunday. So just goes to show you that it wasn't all about Bryson just hitting bombs.
But it was a little bit.
That's why he and Wolf were it's no coincidence the two of the biggest bombers out there, DeChambeau and Wolf, were the two guys fighting for the trophy. I mean, because they just it's new golf. They just hit it so far that even when they're in the rough, which is so penal, they're so close to the green that they can control it better. And Bryson DeChambeau was sensational at that.
So I saw that up until that point, I think it was Angel Cabrera. He was the U.S. Open champion that had hit the least fairways.
Who? Cabrera.
Cabrera.
Yeah.
Back when he won his.
Yeah.
30. And I think Tiger had won at like 32, couple guys at 36, 37. You know how many DeChambeau hit?
This is for all four rounds?
All four rounds.
I'm going to say 30.
23.
Wow.
23.
And he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
And he won going away.
He said, I saw an interview with him afterwards when someone asked him about that, because they were pointing out, they're like, when Cabrera did it at 30, people were like, oh my God, that's amazing. He did it with seven less, and someone asked him about it, and he goes, I didn't concern myself with it. He said, I knew I wasn't going to be in the fairway. He just said, whether I'm out there hitting bombs or I'm trying to play somewhat conservatively with my driver, he goes, I'm not going to be in the fairway, so why not just go for it and I'll deal with it? I mean, that is the most anti-U.S. Open stance you can take. And to just say, yeah, I'm not going to be in it, and I don't care. And people made fun of him for that, and yet he went out and dominated the field.
This should get him a lot of respect. And I know he's not very well liked, and he's a douchebag, clearly. Very full of himself. Just read his quotes.
Yeah.
But you got to give him an A+ for innovation. He is rethinking the game and making others rethink the game. And what he is doing is working, and that is validation. Mm-hmm. He just hits bombs, and that's why Wolf was up there too. He does as well. And Wolf, I think that on Saturday was Wolf's good day, and he hit two fairways all day.
Yeah.
But he was in the rough all day, and the rough is supposed to be where you just can't win a U.S. Open from that rough. Well, he was just getting up and down, he was knocking it tight from the rough the whole Saturday. Yeah. So it's just it's a different ball game now. And these guys are just so good. And it just makes you wonder how many dudes coming up. You know, it was the Tiger effect before. Yeah. Now, these young guys coming up, how much are they going to take from what DeChambeau is doing, or Wolf, or whoever? And we see more of this in the future.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we know that the game is getting longer and the equipment's better. But everyone's playing the same equipment. And that's the thing, is it's not like Wolf or DeChambeau is using anything different than anyone else, but the idea of DeChambeau's taking it different because he's put on 50 pounds and he goes, look, I'm just doing everything I can to swing as hard as humanly possible. But this call for, you know, changing of the equipment, and I'm sure that if you go back 20 years ago, we were saying the same thing. If you go back 20 years ago, 20 years beyond that, it was saying the same thing. Everyone fears change. Everyone fears technology. Everyone fears, you know, things evolving in the game. And this is the next evolution of golf. So I am not one that says that we need to make courses, we need to start just, you know, building these mammoth courses or changing golf balls or clubs. And again, he's won one tournament or a one major. Well,
but that's a big, that's a big win to validate what he's been doing. Because a lot of people have been giving him crap.
Sure. But I mean, if he reels off, you know, 8 over the next 20, sure. But how many times have we seen someone, whether it's Thomas or Spieth or whoever, win one or two of these things, and we're like, oh my God, they're just, you know, the run that they're going to go on. And then in a stunning development, golf has a way of humbling you.
Who knows how many he'll win. It's just it's more about the way he's going about it that's really interesting. And it's rethinking. It's making you know, some guys rethink how they go about it. You know, he now is going, he's going to keep going, by the way.
Yeah.
So he now wants to add 15 more pounds. He says he thinks he can get to 245. He's currently at 230.
So we're just waiting for the heart attack to do it, man.
That's possible. But he also says that he wants to experiment with the 48-inch driver shaft. And what that will do, so he, at Winged Foot, he averaged about 336 yards off the tee. Again, Matt Wolf hit it further than him.
He did have one that went like 392 on the par five, and he had a pitching wedge in.
So he doesn't just wail on everything to try to hit it. But his idea is if he gets a 48-inch driver shaft, which that's the longest shaft you can have. Don't clip that.
Please clip it.
Then he thinks with that and 15 more pounds, he can hit it even further.
The other thing, and this is an interesting point someone just brought up to go along with that, is this type of swing sustainable? Just ask Tiger Woods. Or when you swing that hard, are you asking for
his body,
back and shoulder problems? And as someone that's been a bigger person most of my life, as you get older, that weight does start to weigh on your joints. And
no question.
He's a big weightlifting guy, and you know, it's that stuff can tear you down real fast.
There's no question. And I think that knowing him, I feel like we should maybe give him the benefit of the doubt that he knows that.
Yeah.
And that he's got people working on that with him. But you're right, there's got to be there's a fine line in there. And the other thing too is Bryson and Wolf, it's not just how far they hit it, it's how strong they are once they are in the rough. They're just able to muscle it out of there. And that's the other thing.
The clubs can fight through the thickest of the rough.
They can just get it down in there and get it out. And a lot of guys, you know, I mean, you can't do that. We've all hit from really thick rough like that.
It just stops the club.
Impossible. Those guys just didn't bother them, which is why they were the top two guys in the tournament.
Now, I know that I am not, like, you are a very good golfer. I am not. I break 90, I'm happy. But, you know, the one thing that DeChambeau has made me rethink?
What's that?
In my personal game? Well, I told you, my clubs got stolen a while ago, so I'm playing with an older set.
Mm-hmm.
So for the last 8 months or so, I've been looking at new clubs. And one of these days, I'll pull the trigger on them. And you know what I'm going to do? I'm doing the one length club.
You are?
Yeah, I'm going to do it.
Whoa.
Yeah.
This is a revelation.
Yeah. I'm going to go with the doucher, and it makes total sense to me. I ended up watching a whole thing on this about all the different swing planes and why I hit some clubs real well, others I don't, loft angle and all that.
It might help you.
And so I am going to go. I've been looking at different club companies that make these, and I am going to go with I'm going to make every club a 7-iron.
Well, you then are drinking the Kool-Aid, my friend. You are fully drinking the Kool-Aid.
From this standpoint, yes.
Now, the interesting thing when you start that experiment is what happens with your wedges?
Yeah.
I think the controversial thing about what he's doing, and a lot of people just don't agree with what he's doing with his keeping the shaft length the same for his wedges. They think that's the weak part of his game.
Yeah.
They think that he needs to, you can't just corkscrew that idea into the wedge game. It's different because you're hitting different shots, different lies, different heights, more of a feel portion of the game. So that will be fascinating to see if you feel that.
So when I do pull the trigger on it.
But I love this. I have not heard of any other person who is doing this, even though Bryson DeChambeau has done it, and it's a really interesting theory, and it does make sense if you read about it, and it's sure as hell working for him. Nobody's doing it.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a whirl.
All right, well, it sounds like we're done here.
Mike's begging us.
Good luck.
Mike's begging us to go to break.
Oh, well, I have more golf.
I think Mike is literally, look at him.
Hey, Mike, let's talk about Danny Lee. You want to talk about what happened with Danny Lee?
I don't know if I've ever quite seen that.
Have you seen that, Mike? What happened with Danny Lee, Mike?
I think Mike wants more hot shaft talk from you.
Well, you might get it.
It's possible.
All right. 418 on the fan.
Prime time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Golf talk. Boom. I think Mike had to poop. That's why he was.
Is that why he was so?
Well, he ran right out of here when.
Not have to poop.
I just want to poop.
But you were. Oh, you know.
You're like the girl in
Super Long.
The Oklahoma video.
Yeah.
I gotta poop.
I just want to poop.
I just want to poop.
We played that last night in the club.
Mike, you want to borrow my new bidet seat?
Sure.
Wouldn't that be cool if you
had never used a bidet before?
Shame on you, Michael.
Mike.
Shame on you.
Man.
I don't think I've really ever had a chance to use a bidet, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it's like sometimes you go to the bathroom and then they get in the shower, right? It's the same thing. It's the same concept.
Cleaning your bung?
Yeah. Look, there's something about being fresh and clean. They're back
great.
There.
Bidets are great.
Yeah.
They really are.
Yeah.
So, Sue got his new bidet seat in the mail today.
Yeah, that's the 950 luxury bidet seat. Feeling pretty good about it. Thanks, Costco.
He carries it in his trunk and he just puts it on any toilet that he sits on.
Yeah, we just walk around.
It's portable.
Some guys carry around a water bottle. I carry around a bidet seat.
You have it on your, like, hooked onto your backpack.
Just throw that down real quick.
Just in case.
And I had a buddy of mine that carried around wet wipes with him at all times.
Yeah, I have a buddy that does that too.
Yeah, it's just like a little small pack and he keeps them in his back pocket. Wow. And I'm like, wow.
It's inspiring.
That is a commitment to cleanliness.
It is.
He won't go back.
I have a friend who travels with his own toilet paper.
Yeah, I've known a couple people that are like that.
Very particular.
It does make sense because, let's be honest, the toilet paper in most hotels, I don't know what that is, but it's not toilet paper. It's just some sort of weird, like, single ply. Just it's awful. But I never think about that. I never think about packing some Charmin when I'm getting ready to go on a trip.
Guys were laying up on a par three, the third hole, at the U.S. Open, which I thought was great.
Yeah.
I don't know if you saw that.
Yeah.
But literally laying up on a par three, it was easier to hit it short of the green, short of a bunker, and chip up than it was to try to hit the green. It was like 250 yards or something.
Yeah.
I thought that was quintessential U.S. Open. And then it was so tough out there. You knew you were going to get one of these at the U.S. Open. It was so tough. Only one guy was under par, and that was Bryson DeChambeau, who was sensational. Everybody else was even or worse.
Mm-hmm.
The scores were just ballooned by Friday.
Yeah, I mean, Thursday was fine. Thursday, people were scoring, and then after that, it just kind of went sideways. I mean, second place shot 5 over on Sunday.
You knew you would get this. You had the, and this guy, it could have been any of them. It doesn't look good for this guy, but I totally get it when you're, I can't imagine how frustrating it is to play that course. And this guy wasn't playing bad. He had shot 70 on the first day, mm-hmm. 75 on the second day. This was on Saturday, and he had a par putt for a 74 on the 18th hole.
And he did apologize for this. He has had to come out and say
he should, because, you know, golf's stuffy and
poor form.
It was. He just lost his cool. But I totally get it. We've all been there. So his name is Danny Lee. He had a 4-foot par putt on the 18th hole to finish off his round. He made a 9 and withdrew.
Well, he missed. He withdrew the next hole.
I thought it was the 18th hole. I thought he was done.
I don't think so. I thought he had one more.
No, I feel I may be wrong about this.
It was on the 18th.
This was the 18th hole. So he was done, and he was going to shoot a 73, not a 74. And he missed the par putt. Then he kind of took his time on the next one and missed the comebacker. Now he's so pissed off that he just does the hockey thing where he just kind of slaps at the ball, and then he hits it 3 more times, and he made his longest off of
1 foot. And that's the thing, is the last three were all 1 foot putts. Like he didn't care.
He was just, and he knew he was going to withdraw, and because apparently he said he had a wrist injury, but he was just frustrated. Anyway, he was only 70, 75, 74. But
yeah, they say he would have been in the top 40 in a nice little payday. Would have made 6 figures.
Yeah. Danny Lee.
If you haven't seen it, I'm telling
it's
you.
It's great.
Because at one point, it doesn't even look like he's going to stop and wait for the ball to stop rolling.
The Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, he's going to do the Phil Mickelson. It's unbelievable. I can't. I'm sure it's happened. I can't remember seeing anything quite that bad.
Yeah, we've had some meltdowns like that.
From literally four feet in. And then by the end, he's putting it at 6 feet because he keeps hitting it that far past the hole.
Yeah. And then he made it.
Yeah.
I was like, hey, nice little putt. Good little, hey, way to hang in there, fella.
Little tin cup. And the problem is that when we're like that, then your buddies just give it to you. They're like, dude, just.
Yeah, for us, that's a mark me down for a 6.
Yeah, it's double par.
Double bogey.
Double par and just send me on my way. This is over.
Good times. Well, it was an exciting U.S. Open. I thought it was great. Winged Foot was awesome. That's a great golf course. They totally punished those guys. And I, for 1 week out of the year, love watching them have to tackle it. And Bryson DeChambeau is a worthy champ. That was a hell of a run.
And then
I was really pulling for Matt Wolff, though.
Yeah. And then every year you have to hear about people bitching and moaning about the U.S. Open,
mm-hmm.
which I don't fully
people do under- like to do that.
But what I don't get is, if you're a player, you know what's coming. Like, you know, it's
golfers are babies.
You know, it's the U.S. Open.
They're all playing the same course.
It's like you're playing putt-putt golf and you get to the volcano hole. You know, you're taking an 8 on it.
Well, who are the guys that were bitching? Because I'll tell you right now, none of them probably were even close to the top.
Yeah.
The guys that are close to the top, they ain't wasting their time bitching about the course. They're talking, they're looking at how to tackle it.
Yeah,
it's, and it's interesting to watch them try to tackle that. I mean, that's a tough, that's as tough as it gets, man.
Well, I mean, they say the U.S. Open wants it to be the toughest test in golf. And
it is.
We heard after day one, the superintendent wasn't just pissed.
Holy crap.
He was super pissed.
Effing.
Yeah, effing pissed. Yeah.
Effing pissed.
And yeah, I think he got a measure of revenge.
That's the longest shaft you can have.
That is the longest shaft you can have.
I don't think it works.
Really?
Controversial. I don't think that works.
One more time.
That's the longest shaft you can have. I don't think it works.
I think it'll have its place.
I do.
Mike will find a timely.
Somehow John Hamm or Orlando Bloom will come up and we fire off.
That's the longest shaft you can have.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Yes,
you're right.
Is.
That's
there,
right.
There is
Bar
a place
Orlando Bloom talk yesterday.
Yes.
That would have worked perfectly.
There'll be a, Vincente Shanko will get caught in a, in a video in a locker room. And
or you'll just reference a very high number and then I can drop that.
That's the longest shaft you can have.
Yes. Can't have any. Can't have
I
any
thought
longer.
12 was really impressive.
Yeah. That's the longest shaft you can have. You guys are right. You guys are right. I love it. All right, coming up next, we've got a full in the news. Yesterday's was abbreviated, so we've got a lot to catch up on. Plaxico Burress was in Lincoln City. COVID numbers are going back up, and a little RGB in Oregon anecdote for you.
Oh, again, we got to make it about us, right?
That's right.
How it affects you locally.
So all of that is coming up next on In the News. Here's Mike. Okay, the time on your Swatch watches is 4:36.
Rocket to the door with all that.
So talented.
It is me, Isaac. Big Sook is right over there. It is September 22nd, 2020. It is time for In the News. Not only am I Isaac, I am your noted newsman.
One and the same. I mean, you wear so many
synonymous
hats.
Jason.
Sex symbol, icon, newsman.
That's right.
I mean, it's... I mean, golfer, Pheasant Bowl, MVP.
Tell me more.
And it's amazing.
Keep going. National Elephant Appreciation Day, so appreciate all those elephants out there.
I saw a thing where the elephants are dying across the world because of some algae problem.
That's correct. I read that too.
Yeah, I guess the algae is like they're drinking the water and the algae is killing them. So, look, we're screwing this planet up left and right. I mean, it's what we do.
How dare you say that?
Elephants are next.
Time to go to Venus.
Maybe it is time to go to Venus.
Read a book called Sapiens sometime, and one of the chapters just talks about going back to human history. Wherever we go, death and destruction follow. Like, it talks about like when humans first stepped foot on North America, when we got to Australia, what happened when we started going out on the oceans. We have a tendency to, murder everything. It's just what we do. And so,
good at it.
We are very good at it. It may be the thing that humans are better at than anything else in
Effing
our history.
Effing stuff up.
Yes.
It is also National Ice Cream Cone Day.
Ah, who doesn't love a delicious ice cream cone?
It's a little taste of Americana, don't you think?
If you're ever having a bad day, I highly recommend just sitting down somewhere, having a soft serve, and it'll cheer you right up.
All right, well, here are the latest COVID numbers. You ready for these?
Yeah, I saw this on a national basis. We're in a study development. We're ticking back up.
Yeah, it's not going well.
Now I saw Utah is going. They're regressing.
Well,
back and a bunch of states are putting in more restrictions.
I think internationally though, it seems to be ticking back up. I saw a lot of cases in Canada. Some places in Europe having cases go back up. It's
definitely going up everywhere. It's still a thing. The daily numbers in the United States are up 15% in the last 10 days.
Well, we knew.
So if you look at the curve on the chart, it is definitely going back up. That's the sharpest increase since late spring.
We knew that there would be a bump after the holiday weekend because every holiday has had that. And I honestly think just a lot of people are tired of it, and you're just getting people that are not being as diligent. They're tired.
Yep, fatigue is one thing. You're getting mixed messages as to how it spreads. Poor planning, obviously. Vaccine. A lot of people are just saying, we'll just wait for the vaccine. We're fine. You got all that.
Yeah.
So up 15% in the last 10 days nationally. Here locally, we had 328 new cases reported today.
Yeah, that's
a lot.
Yeah, for a while we were under 200.
That's the most in the daily tally since mid-August.
Yeah.
Now, we're also moving into weather season where people are going to be inside more. Families will be traveling over the holidays.
And that's bad news. I mean, they did say that you're 20 times more likely to get it from inside person-to-person contact than you are anywhere else.
Poor airflow and ventilation.
And now we're into flu season, too, and so that's going to put more strain. It's not good.
Would it surprise you that in 1918, 75,000 people died in the first 6 months of that flu? Okay.
Oh, okay.
75,000 people died in the first 6 months. Care to guess how many died in October?
Oh, boy.
Now, it's not similar.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it is kind of similar, but it's not exactly the same, so... So not saying this is going to happen this time, but...
75? I'm guessing that...
So in 1918, the flu of 1918, 75,000 people died in the first 6 months. This is in the U.S.
Yeah.
How many people died in October?
Just the month of October.
Yes.
50,000.
190,000 people.
Well, so let's hope that doesn't happen.
Now, here's the good news. The good news is they say that you're 30 to 50% less likely to die now... If you catch the COVID, then you would have been in the spring.
Good,
because they have better treatments.
Yeah, we know what we're doing.
More about it. All right, well, that's positive.
That is positive, Bill. Very positive. All right, what else was I going to tell you?
I don't know. I haven't seen your...
You want your Ruth Bader Ginsburg story?
Yeah, what...
You know, she's dead now.
She did. Or she is.
What? Yeah, she is.
She is. She did die. She did. She is dead. She's not coming back.
She most likely is not coming back.
No.
But never say never.
Yeah. They're going to do a viewing.
Yeah, I saw that. Is that going to be open casket?
Yeah, they're doing the Pope thing, which is weird because they said that's like a really, and Mike would know this being the Jewish man of faith that he is, but I guess they're saying that is very much against Judaism customs. But the family has said that they think it's important and people want to honor her. So she'll get the Pope treatment.
And she's okay with that? Or at least she was?
I don't know if they spoke to her in her, you know, final days, but that's what's happening. Okay. You can go pay your respects and they'll have an open viewing.
I would want to make sure my person was okay with that. I'm sure they did. Sure, she probably was like, yeah, sure.
I'm guessing when you knew it's at the end like that, you had those sorts of discussions.
Right.
I personally would not. I think that's bizarre.
Me too. I don't like it.
No.
Light me on fire
and send me down the Willamette out to the Columbia, and I'm good. I don't. Plus, no one wants to come view me anyways.
That's right.
Exactly. Like, this is a titan of a woman who made an impact on so many people. Let's not act like anyone needs to come pay respects to you and me.
Except for my wife.
Yes.
She doesn't need to see me dead.
No, she does not.
You know. So let's bring it local. That time, Ruth Bader Ginsburg came to Oregon. The year was 2008. And she gave Ken Wright, who's a winemaker.
Yeah.
Do you know that name?
I do not.
She gave him a week heads up that she was coming out. She was coming out for a ceremony at Willamette University Law School in Salem. She was doing something with that. And so she has her people call up Ken Wright and say, hey, RGB is coming out. So buckle up, bitch.
We're going to do this.
She wanted to try some wine. So I guess she wanted to try Willamette Valley Pinot Noir. She'd always heard about it. She was into wine. She was big into wine, apparently. And she had never really gotten into the Pinots. And so she went out with Ken Wright at Ken Wright Cellars in Carlton. And he said she and her family rolled up in unmarked black SUVs. You know, in little old Carlton, there's all these guys running around with suits and sunglasses and earpieces and, you know, the whole thing. He said it was quite bizarre. But
and this little tiny woman emerges from the back.
This little old lady. Well, 2008, so this was she was still a little old lady.
She was still a tiny little old lady.
Yeah. But do you see the videos of her working out and stuff?
Yeah, up until the end. I think it wasn't too long ago she did a workout video. She had, like, you know, the little stretchy bands and...
Yeah.
Yeah. She was a go-getter.
So she was a big wine fan and was just getting into Pinot, and she wanted to know what made our area so special for Pinot Noir. So she set this up. He took him up to McCrone Vineyards, which is north of Carlton, to explain everything to her and show them the views and everything. And it was her, Marty, her husband, and their daughter. And he described her as amazing and open. He said that she was thoughtful, a critical thinker. They never talked politics. They only talked about wine. They met for 2 hours. They tried a bunch of wine. He loaded her up with a bunch of it, and off they went. Mm. He said that was it.
How cool is that?
Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Had a chance to rub shoulders with her.
And then he said that she sent him a really nice thank you card, and he says their family loved Willamette Valley wines for all the right reasons. Mm. So that's the story from Ken.
I didn't know that, and I'm this is probably dumb on my part. I didn't know the Supreme Court justices got the full security patrol and all that. Is that everywhere they go, or just...
You know, I don't know, but
I don't.
He said that's what was up.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, obviously, when, like, the president rolls places or the vice president, but does, like, the speaker get that? Did the Supreme... I don't know all the security detail. I wouldn't have guessed that an army of SUVs and security would roll up. But now that I think about it,
but now that you think about it,
it's kind of silly that I didn't think that they would have that.
I think it makes more sense that they do. Plexico Burress was in Lincoln City over the weekend, celebrity sighting.
Shoot himself?
We will get to that.
I did see that someone did shoot themselves.
4:45 on the Fan.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is in the news. September 22. Is that what it is already?
You are correct.
September 22. Supposed to get some rains tomorrow.
It was gorgeous today.
I know it was, but it will not be tomorrow. And then supposed to be nice this weekend.
And then a bunch of rain, right?
No, I think, early next week. Monday looked good. I haven't looked past Monday.
I thought I heard we were on the verge of a bunch of rain, but...
Where do you hear these things?
The news.
No,
the
looks
news.
Good.
All right, well, yeah. go us.
Next week, next week looks sunny and great.
Juicy.
80, 79, 76, 75. Hell yeah.
I think it's officially fall now, right?
Yeah, I think today is the first day.
Yeah.
How about that? Yes, Plexico Burress sighted in Lincoln City over the weekend.
Sighted or he was seen? I don't think he was sighted for anything.
You don't think?
He was breaking any laws. I think he was just shooting some dice. Clickety-clack.
A man showing off his gun accidentally shot himself in a Lincoln City store.
Dumbass.
Officers responded to McKay's Market. Man was found at the scene with a self-inflicted gunshot wound to his groin and leg. Investigators said the 29-year-old man was waiting in the checkout line when he unholstered his Glock 9mm semi-automatic pistol from his waistband so that he could show it off to a friend. As the man put the gun back in the front of his pants, he accidentally pulled the trigger.
Now, I'm not saying that I root for anyone to be injured, but I find this story to be hilarious.
Police said the bullet narrowly missed his femoral artery. Officers immediately provided first aid before medics arrived to take over treatment. Boy, how embarrassed would that guy be?
Well, yeah, I mean, at that point, you're fighting for your life. I mean, you get shot down there. If you nick that artery, you're bleeding out. That whole idea of getting shot in the leg not being a big thing, no.
It is also a criminal investigation because he did not have a concealed handgun license. And he was found to be reckless.
That's like the Plexico situation where you shoot yourself and then you go to prison. You would think that shooting yourself is punishment enough, but the answer to that is no. I just love that you're in line at the supermarket and you're like, bro.
Check this out.
Bro, check out my Glock. This is badass. By the way, Glocks don't have safety, so there
you go.
That's
the longest shaft you can have. That fit?
A little bit.
Downtown business owners are discussing the perception problem that they have right now around the Earth World planet.
Yeah, I know. I still hear that every day where people are like, man, it's like everyone thinks outside of Oregon that Portland is literally some sort of smoldering ash.
Yeah.
And that you can't go anywhere in the city. I'm even hearing that from people that live here. Like when I tell them, I'm like, no, I'm like, I was out in downtown, grabbed a bite the other day. They're like, what? You went down there? Like, yeah, it's fine. Like, there's no parking? Like, yeah, it's wonderful down there. I mean, yeah, there's some graffiti and there's a couple blocks, but I've been to eat multiple times in downtown over the last month or two and have had zero issues with anything.
Yeah, I saw a story where they interviewed the owner of the Benson Hotel down there. Nice, swanky hotel. Great spot. Guess their occupancy right now.
20%, 25% maybe?
They are at 15%.
Ouch.
And he said at this time last year, they were at 90%.
I'm going to assume that's more COVID than anything. right?
Well,
who's going to hotels?
Well, you got COVID and you got people. There are a ton of people, even in the local area, that just they think it's just some sort of battleground down there.
Yeah, COVID, if you look nationally, hotels are at about a 50% capacity right now.
Yeah.
So they're way lower than where a lot of hotels are. And most of the time, they do really well at the Benson. So this is not just COVID. And he said that he thinks that most people traveling to Portland, you know, because there's a lot of people who work, come here for work or whatever, they are now staying out by the airport rather than staying downtown because they're scared.
Yeah. Again, I just, it's a real, and I get obviously with the protests and, you know, it's not ideal down there, but this notion that downtown is this place that you can't go and that everything's on fire and it's total chaos.
It's not true.
It's not true. Support your local businesses. Cause there was another article I read today where, the next big wave here that all the restaurants are fearful is the only way they're surviving right now is the outdoor dining.
Yeah.
And that once the weather turns, you know, they're going to be back down to working at 20-30%. And that's just, you're not going to survive.
It's brutal.
Yeah.
And here's your final story tonight, Jason. JC Babes.
Yes.
The big zucchini. A white Nebraska bar owner indicted 5 days ago in the May killing of a black man during protests in Omaha, Nebraska, killed himself in Hillsboro, Oregon on Sunday.
See, I saw this and I read all about this. I was not aware of any of this.
I wasn't either.
Until yesterday when they found him.
Jake Gardner, 38, was found outside a medical clinic on Southeast 9th near Baseline just after 12:30 p.m. in Hillsboro. He declined to release any more information about the death. Attorneys representing the guy held a news conference in Omaha on Sunday saying that he killed himself. They maintained he shot 22-year-old James Skurlock on May 30th in a clear case of self-defense.
There's video of it. I saw it yesterday.
And then he fled Nebraska sometime before the indictment because he feared for his safety. So I guess he was out visiting people. He had relatives in Portland.
Yeah. And he had needed to surrender himself. They had officially charged him with murder, and so that he was going to have to go back and face the trial. And
they said he planned to return on Sunday, and he killed himself out in Hillsboro.
And his business, he owned several bars, and they had shut down. I didn't realize this was such a hot... I didn't know anything about this, but I guess he is he's a big Trump guy. He went to the inauguration. He's hosted several Trump Republican parties at his bars. And so obviously that, you know, the one side is going to brand him as a white supremacist, and the other side is going to say that he's a patriot. But they've got the video. I guess people were, breaking stuff outside on the street. He went outside, confronted people. You can see in the video where he lifts up his shirt, shows them the gun and the waistband, and tries to get them to back off. And then the scuffle ensues, and a bunch of there's a fight that breaks out. And in that, you can hear and see the gun go off. And you know, there you go. So it's become obviously a really hotly debated thing down there. I just didn't know we had any sort of local connection to it here until yesterday.
All right, that's in the news. September 22, 2020. The Hot 5 at 5 is next. Guess who's back? Guess who's back? Blake Bortles.
Oh.
You don't have to guess. I'll tell you. Blake Bortles is back.
I was worried.
Yes. And another college football game is postponed. And this is a big-time program. Next on The Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.